Good morning, brothers and sisters. As you can see, I had our servers place upon this altar a new monstrance and tabor that were donated to our parish. Many of you will remember Tom Hawk. He passed away, sadly, during the coronavirus lockdown, and we weren't able to have a funeral or any such thing for him. But Tom was a very generous benefactor to St. Dorothy's. He never wanted me to say anything while he was alive, but now, since he's dead, I think I have the freedom to do so. The Lord will reward him accordingly. But Tom was very generous. He is the one each year who had given the money for the college scholarships. Again, nobody knew that, but Tom always gave the money for those college scholarships. He wanted to encourage young people to go to college. He also is the one who gave all the money to build the cross out front by the road. Again, that was Thomas Hawk. And I've heard many people say, even non-Catholics just driving down the road, even truckers, how they love that cross. It always reminds them to think of Jesus when they're driving down the road. But some of you know that Tom was very good about attending adoration on Thursday nights, and he would often serve adoration for me. More often than not, it was Tom. And so as he knew his health was getting worse and he knew he was dying, he decided to give the money to purchase these. Sadly, they were not completed before he passed away, so he didn't get to see them. But he knew what they looked like, and he's with the Lord now, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm going to bless them today after the homily because I want to use them this Thursday for our 40 hours devotion, for our Eucharistic devotion that is replacing the Eucharistic Congress. So I will be blessing this holy monstrance and tabor after the homily. I wanted to preach to you about today, however, an interesting topic that has been in the church since the beginning. I mean, we can find letters and homilies and sermons and discussions on the question of, should we, as people of God, be spending lots of money on liturgical appointments, on gilded and bejeweled and fancy vestments, or should we simply buy what is necessary and give the rest of the money to the poor? This has always been one of those controversies in the church. And people of goodwill fall on both sides of this question. This monstrance was quite expensive. I gotta tell you how much. It's just very expensive. Okay, but this is what Tom wanted to give because of his love of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Now, he could have given something less expensive, and all of that extra money could have gone to help the poor. So did he do wrong in that regard? What would our Lord have wanted? And this is ultimately the question. Now, we know how much Jesus loves the poor. How often does he remind us in the Gospels to care for the poor and the needy, the abandoned, right? He says to us, what you do to them, how you treat them is how you treat me. So it makes sense that we should have a certain preference to care for the poor. But nowhere in the scriptures does our Lord condemn those who give to the church, to the treasury, to the temple worship of his Father. Nowhere does our Lord condemn this. In fact, one of my favorite saints, St. John Vianney, who's, of course, the patron saint of diocesan priests, has a great quote. In one of his sermons, preaching on this specific topic, he said, poverty, which we all need to live, you know, a simple, a humble life, poverty stops at the altar rail. So he says, poverty stops here. We only give the best for our God and his worship. Only the best. Now, one church's best may be different than another. At one time in the past, I saw a chalice worth somewhere around $50,000. A single chalice. It was mainly gold and silver with large diamonds and rubies and emeralds and all of these things on it. It's huge. I mean, just massive. Obviously, I don't expect any of you to be giving that kind of money for a chalice anytime soon. So that's not something we're going to have here at St. Dorothy's. Most likely. I don't know. Okay, we'll see. But the question is, are we giving the best that we have for the worship of our Lord? Whatever that best may be. Now, There are certain laws that the church sets down in worship of God. For example, in vessels that contain or carry the Lord, the consecrated species of the Lord, they have to be made or plated in precious metal. It is church law. That's why if you ever go to a church and they've got like wood vessels or earthenware vessels, I mean, if they're not gold-plated inside, that's clearly an offense against God because they're breaking church law. But why would the church require us to spend so much money on these vessels for Christ? It's because nothing in this world is more precious than the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Nothing. Not you, not me, not our children. Nothing is more precious. And how often do we always seek to spend the most money and to buy the best things for those whom we love? Why should that be different for our Lord? If he is really and truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, then we must treat him as we would treat anyone else. And since he's more precious and more worthy, since he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then the honor and glory due to him is even greater. So it's very appropriate that we as Christians, of course, never neglect the poor. We should care for them first, but always honor our Lord by buying the best, by using the best in his sanctuary to worship him. And to help root this message, I want to remind you of a story from the Gospel of John. Jesus was having dinner with Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Of course, he had already raised Lazarus from the dead at this point. Jesus would often have dinner with them. And it was soon before our Lord's Passion. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus. She dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held a money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Several of the saints and fathers have used this specific gospel account to help us see the importance of lavishly providing for Jesus Christ. This nard, this spiked oil, perfumed oil, was worth at least 300 days' wages. That's incredibly expensive. And here is Mary wasting it, so to speak, on the body of the Lord. Wasting it on the body of the Lord. And our Lord is pleased and honored by this. Why? Not because the poor were being neglected. He says, look, you'll always have the poor. You'll always need to care for the poor. But you won't always be able to honor me this way. And he accepts that kind of worship, that kind of honor. And so we thank Tom Hawk in a special way for this great gift to our parish, but ultimately to Jesus. He gave it for the Lord. And the Lord, I'm sure, is blessing him, is honoring him for that kind of a gift. And as this Thursday we begin our 40 hours of adoration, we should remember Tom in our prayers and pray especially for the repose of his soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I have a few announcements I need to make. Quite a few months ago, through your generous donations, we purchased new hardcover missals for the pews. As you know, in years past, we've simply used the replaceable ones, the paperback ones, but this time we've gotten permanent ones. And we're going to be putting those back in the pew very soon. If you don't want to pick it up, don't pick it up. You don't have to use it. It's just there for you if you want to. We'll put the hymnals back in the pews as well. Again, if you don't want to pick them up, don't pick them up. We're not going to be wiping them down or cleaning them or anything like that. So use them at your own risk. For those who haven't paid the $30 donation that they registered to pay, please call the office and take care of that as soon as you can. Again, many people donated, and we're having cards put into each missal that says who donated it. Now, I need to remind you, just in case, just because you donated the money for the missal doesn't mean it's yours and you get to take it home with you. It stays in the church. We're just grateful that you donated it to the parish. Now, if you want your own, you can call the office and we can do that. We can get you another one, but these need to stay in the church. And if you'd like to donate, because we still have quite a few that haven't been paid for, again, it's $30 a piece. This coming Sunday, the morning mass, I'm sad to announce, will go back to 9 a.m. Some of you, I'm sure, are happy about that. Some are not. So it'll go back to 9 a.m. So unless you want to figure out a way to rearrange things so it can be different, but we'll talk about that another day. I'm here to serve. So whatever time you want mass, if you can work it out with everybody else, you let me know. Faith formation registration is continuing in the hall after mass, so please register your kids as soon as possible so we can have good numbers and prepare the program. The office is going to be closed tomorrow for Labor Day. Obviously, wish you all a happy Labor Day. Also, I don't know how many of you have read, several articles have been coming out in the last week about COVID and averages and percentages. There was one that mentioned a study that found only 6% of those who died of COVID actually died of only COVID. So out of every person registered as dead by COVID, only 6% of them actually died by COVID alone. The other 94% had other factors to varying degrees, illnesses, weaknesses, sicknesses, and COVID, like any virus or flu, weakened their system to the point of death. But COVID was not the murderer, so to speak. COVID didn't kill them. It was just one of the factors that did. So that was an interesting study. But a more interesting one came out very recently in the New York Times, which is not necessarily a bastion of conservative news reporting. So it makes it even more trustworthy on some level in this regard. New York Times put out a report that said 90%, that's 90% of all positively tested COVID patients should not have tested positive. 90%. Now, I recommend you go and you read the article, because it's really fascinating and it explains the science as to why they shouldn't have tested positive. It's not because they didn't have some minute trace of the virus in them, it's but because the minute trace was not contagious and also did not produce any symptoms. And so the test was irrelevant. And yet they still were registered as carrying the virus. And it's those numbers, right, that 100% that was used by the government to shut the, to do the lockdown and to cause all the problems that we've been having. That's why this information is important. Now, none of this sets aside the fact that COVID virus or any virus isn't dangerous for people in certain situations, right? You know, the elderly, especially who have breathing problems or lung problems, it's very dangerous. But any virus is dangerous for them. They die of the flu every year, not just COVID. So there are particular situations, but this is showing us that all the hype and the fear-mongering is more politics than anything. It's not rooted in fact or in science, so it's important to remember that. So I just recommend your reflection on that. Now, on to more important things. This Thursday is our 40 hours devotion. Since we're not having the Eucharistic Congress this year, the bishop has asked us to do something in honor of our Lord and his Holy Eucharist. So starting Thursday night, at the normal holy hour time, 6 p.m., I will expose the Blessed Sacrament, and we will have adoration until Saturday morning at 10 a.m. So that's 40 hours of holy adoration. And a good number of people have signed up. You can sign up online on our website. So please go and look at that after Mass, because we need all of those hours filled before Thursday. So all of them filled before Thursday. So if you haven't signed up for a time, and again, it may be a sacrifice, you could come in the middle of the night, but know that the Lord will reward you. You know, it's a great grace to spend an hour with the Lord. If you remember the words of Jesus in the garden to the apostles, he said, "Could you not spend 1 hour with me?" They kept falling asleep on the Lord when they were supposed to stay awake and pray. So it's very important that we do this as a parish especially. So please sign up as soon as you can. Following reposition of the sacrament, 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, we'll have Mass, and then I'll give a talk on the Blessed Sacrament in the hall after Mass. Everyone is welcome to attend. And Meg Barrett has graciously said that she will watch your kids. She'll have activities and snacks for them. So if you want to attend the talk without too much distraction. So again, please, I encourage you to attend and honor our Lord in this way. And of course, pray for the repose of the soul of Tom Hawk. And I think that's everything.